The Carmen and Yurko podcast is brought to you by Vitacost.com. Vitacost.com is a trusted brand for all your discount vitamins, supplements, health foods, and beauty products. Use promo code CARMEN15 for 15% off your entire order at Vitacost.com.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko
on Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000. Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Bonus Carmen and Yurko today on this beautiful Thursday. NFL kicks off tonight, but let's talk some baseball. I mean, this White Sox and A's in September is so big. It's like the Super Bowl. There's like a pre-pregame show. So Connor McKnight, who's going to do the pregame starting in an hour, that's why we're going all the way till 2. We're doing the pre-pre with Connor in studio now to talk White Sox baseball. What's up, brother?
How you feeling?
Hold on, turn that mic on.
Is that not? There it is.
There it is.
We're firing on all cylinders.
We're feeling good. You stumped me today, dude. And I love that movie. I love that scene. And I couldn't pull it. I don't know what was wrong with me today.
I'm glad I did. I like giving a challenge every now and again. Fate has me highly skilled and loaded with talent. I'm very happy about
that. Where I went Courtney Cox and Jim Carrey.
Sure. Oh, Ace Ventura.
Yeah, I just went the opposite direction. It killed me.
We're going to do an Ace Ventura at some point. That's one of my all-time favorite movies. How could it not be? You're 7 years old. You sneak into the theater, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I figure from here on out, I kind of want to try and do a little like seasonality to McKnight at the movies.
I like it.
So with the Bears opener coming up, I grabbed a little snippet. I got to do a little Bears play-by-play, you know, right there, kind of during McKnight at the movies. I felt good.
Smart, dude.
You know, it was the play-by-play we've said for years, right? Grossman to Justin Gage.
I mean, huge.
It's that big hookup.
I'm guessing 6 career touchdowns, but that might be high between the two. Who the heck knows? You could teach a masterclass in it. I don't know that it's a skill anybody wants, but you could teach the masterclass.
It's not a skill.
It is. You're phenomenal at it. It's great. People always come up to me, too. They go, man, Connor starts the pregame, and I keep thinking he's going to do a movie at some point.
I get that at the ballpark every now and again.
Right.
You know, I fill in for Len, and it's like, hey, what movie are you doing?
What movie are you doing?
It's the White Sox and Red Sox.
Yeah, it's not the natural.
It's not Fever Pitch.
I hear you and Jonathan Hood are doing a game.
Yes.
Oh, no, it's going to be nice.
Hoodie's in tomorrow. Yeah. DJ's got the series off. Jason's calling a football game.
Of course.
Len's over on television, so it'll be me and Jonathan Hood calling the White Sox and Red Sox tomorrow afternoon.
That's awesome.
Tomorrow evening. Very looking forward to it. Very
that's
much
great. All right, let's talk some White Sox. And if anybody has a question for Connor about the Sox, honestly, you might as well ring us up. We'll do a little pre-pre, like I said. 312-332-3776. I guess the best place to start is the guy who pitched last night. And you know, I know La Russa was kind of happy and singing his praises a little bit about how the stuff was better and it was getting better and it's a work in progress. But I don't know, Connor. I mean, like, it's kind of hard to see a path where he's getting meaningful innings in the postseason right now, isn't it?
He's said as much. You know, I think it's interesting. You know, we talk about it on the postgame a lot. It's a focus of calls on the postgame show and on White Sox Weekly as well. There's some consternation about the way Dallas Keuchel's pitching right now. And listen, it's unfortunate that a guy you signed to a good contract, you know, just a year ago, who finished in the top in Cy Young voting just last season, short as it was, isn't having the year you wanted. But name for me a postseason team, a contender, that goes 5 deep in the rotation when they start a series.
Doesn't happen.
This isn't a concern. It's unfortunate that Keuchel's not pitching as well as he could, because he could be meaningful for you out of the rotation or even out of the pen. But that guy's not there right now. There were steps made last night. I mean, he looked much better than he did in his last 3. Unfortunately, that wasn't enough to overcome some of the results and some of the batted balls from the A's. So, you know, we kind of sit in this place where Keuchel's probably not going to make a playoff roster. But we knew going into this that one of the 5 in that rotation wasn't going to. That's how baseball works now. This is where we're at.
Yeah. As much as I love watching Luis Robert play defense, there are moments, you know, there's been 2 things in this series. One was a flat-out error a couple of nights ago. I mean, the ball can't roll under your glove as an outfielder, okay? And then there's one, I think it was the 4th inning last night, where, you know, he just sort of, maybe lollygags is too strong of a word, but makes no real definitive charge on the ball to at least give the third base coach something to think about. And, you know, it's an easy run that crosses the plate. Now, you scored 1 last night, fine, but it's like, I love watching him play defense. He's gold glove. He can run and catch anything in the outfield. But there are like little things that need to be cleaned up, I think, still for a young player, right?
I think that's right. I think even when you win a Gold Glove, when you're as young a ball player as he is, some of the finer points do need to be discussed. And actually, I think Darren Jackson does a phenomenal job of breaking down outfield play, really everything about the game, but outfield play specifically, because that's what he did. And DJ's a guy who'd tell you right off the top, I was good because I got the ball out immediately, like defensively.
Right.
As soon as I had it, I was getting rid of it, and I knew where to go. And that made him very dangerous out there defensively. And I think sometimes, you know, that kind of quick decision-making process could benefit Luis Robert a little bit, as athletic as he is. As you know, there are times where you look up into center field, Carmen Yerk, and he's already halfway to the baseball that just got hit.
I know.
There aren't many center fielders that do that for you these days.
Like, his instincts are good. He covers a lot of ground.
They're like, so good.
Yeah.
Right off the bat, knows what's happening.
He's absolutely spectacular. But yeah, I think attention to detail, I guess, as you know, and that's kind of damning a little bit, but I don't mean to be. I think that's a factor for a lot of outfielders in this game right now.
Especially
and
when you're young, right? Like, it's kind of kind of comes with the territory
and
a little.
And in center, you've got to be that guy.
Yeah.
You know, and he's also dealing with, you know, Cesar Hernandez, who is fairly new to the club, needs to know where to be on pickoff, or pickoff plays, on relay throws, all that kind of stuff. Some of that positioning and some of that is, you know, coach preference that's going to change a little bit from team to team.
They really need to wrap Aloy in bubble tape, don't they?
They do.
I mean, the poor guy. And first of all, the stupid stadium out there. I mean, for crying out loud, put a guardrail up. Put something up. I mean, what are you doing, Oakland?
You got to imagine if you're the A's, it's like, hey, we're not going to be here next year anyway.
Maybe you're right.
We're good on that.
I know they have to pay for their own Pepsi, but I mean, you couldn't at some point put a freaking guard up there?
You guys know that orange plastic kind of fencing that shields out at construction sites?
Right, chain fences.
That's the one. I thought they'd put that stuff up overnight.
Put that up.
Just like, fine, here it is.
I mean, like, pretend, for crying out loud. But Aloy, I mean, and Yurko, of course, is busting balls, the Cub fan. He's like,
find him.
But the ball does seem to find him, either the fence or the ball. It's like, God, Aloy.
And since coming back, the ball's found him, and he's played good defense.
I know, he kind of has.
He still gets hit.
Can we give Carm some love for that reference from Moneyball?
That
Pepsi reference? That's well done.
They can't afford a fence. They can't afford their own Pepsi, these
Who
poor
pays
bastards.
For the Pepsi in the movie?
He gets Mark Shapiro.
Yes. That's right.
Was it Dombrowski?
Maybe it was Dombrowski.
Yeah. Now, check the math here, boys. But what former big leaguer played David Justice in the movie?
Ooh.
It's not David Justice.
Ooh, and it was, but he's a former big leaguer.
Sure, that wasn't common.
Royce Clayton. He always played.
Are you Clayton, sure?
He hit lefty in them.
I'm pretty sure
it was Royce Clayton. Now that you say it, it does look like Royce Clayton.
Royce the Choice.
Yeah, you might be right about the former White Sox Royce Clayton, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right. I once watched Royce Clayton lay out for a ball at shortstop in Miller Park, and the ball went over his back of his legs.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
that's
a bad hop on Royce the Choice.
That's a bad hop.
Royce made a bad choice.
Hold on, I'm Googling.
I'm pretty sure
right
it's Royce the Choice.
I think you might be right.
He's definitely in that movie.
Because now that you said that, I'm looking at David Justice in the movie going, no, that is Royce Clayton. I think
I don't know. Are we sure about this?
I love that movie and that book as much as anything.
It looks like Royce Clayton played Miguel Tejada.
Miguel Tejada.
Apologies all around. I just do the playbook.
David Justice was played by Stephen Bishop, a former pro player.
Yeah, I don't remember Stephen Bishop.
Not common.
But see, this is that's what makes a movie good sometimes. You get the former athlete to look the part and play. You know, now Hattieburg was played by Chris Pratt.
And he was fine.
He was good.
It's one of my biggest... I have two pet peeves in movies that stick out more than anything else, and you guys will get right along with both, I think. It's in sports movies where the actor clearly doesn't know how to play the sport. Like Tom Berenger's swing in Major League is
atrocious.
It's just not. And he had never played before, so you got to hand it to him for doing a good job. The other one is, whenever you see a radio scene in a movie and that person's doing radio without headphones on, it drives me insane.
How about Frasier? I mean, is that less realistic radio ever? Like, he hits a button and then everything that goes works. I mean, it's like...
It drives me insane.
And Roz, who's the producer, does nothing. She doesn't screen calls.
That's a little closer to Homer than some might think.
I knew Yurko was going to take a shot. I knew Yurko was not going to miss an opportunity. Randy saying that Roz did nothing as the producer.
Hey, here's something new for you, Connor. There's traffic out in the world in the morning.
Yeah.
Merkin
was caught off guard
today.
This morning by the traffic.
By the traffic.
We're like, dude, the pandemic's over. Look at the traffic. That's it, man.
West Coast starts for me, so I've been driving about 7 o'clock or so.
So
I didn't really notice.
I mean, it's terrible right now back in the mornings. I agree with you on the two things you just mentioned, though. It drives me nuts when they put on They don't put on headphones.
It's insane.
And I will also, and I'm probably in the minority on this because people are like, why the hell would I want to read a movie? If you're going to do a movie and the actors are supposed, you know, it's taking place in Russia, speak Russian. I mean, sure. Come on. We can right. read
Kevin
it.
Kevin Costner sure. and Robin Hood is
we,
awful.
We awful. Well, but that's not even what I'm talking about. Speak the language. If the movie is taking place in Germany, have them speak it. Like, I really liked, what was the one where the kid's best friend was Hitler? It was
Ted.
No, stop
oh,
it.
Oh, Jojo Rabbit. Yeah, Jojo Rabbit.
I loved it.
Sorry, the phrase, the one where the kid's best friend is Hitler, kind of throws
weird. I know, you're right.
That's a phrase that throws.
It was a different take. I love the movie, and I love Scarlett Johansson, and I love all those actors, Sam Rockwell, and they're speaking English with German accents. Come on, man. But I just shoot the movie in German. I think Robert De Niro learned Italian to make The Godfather 2, okay? He learned the language. It is possible. I don't want to hear Scarlett Johansson doing a bad English-German accent. Oh, Maxi, you're going to go and get your tea. I mean, what the hell? Speak German or get German actors.
I get it.
They had Matt Damon play a Chinese guy. Do you know that?
What?
Or a yeah, Japanese not great.
Guy? Yes.
Not great.
What
yeah,
was
great,
that?
Great
that
Wall,
was like the
right?
Shogun one. Or yeah. The Wall.
Great Wall of exactly. China. There's monsters living on the other side of the Great Wall of China. But don't worry, there's...
But there are major inquiries into that one. Wait a minute.
How is he?
Not a good look.
That's not a good look at all.
You're right, though. It's the movies, though, where you've got somebody doing an accent and just abandons it half. Like Carrie Fisher in Star Wars just lets it go after a scene and a half.
That's it.
Costner has an English accent for all of 9 words in Prince of Thieves and just lets it go.
Unbelievable. Drives me insane. Right? Yeah, it drives us nuts. We're weird that way, ladies and gentlemen. All right, stick around. One more. You got like 5 more minutes?
I got time.
Connor will hang for a few more minutes. We'll talk some more White Sox. I do have some other big picture stuff. 312-332-3776. If you have a Sox question, we'll be right back.
Get Carmen and Yurko pods on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Game for White Sox and A's is coming up at 2 right here in your home for White Sox baseball. Len and DJ have the call at 2:37. Rubber game in Oakland. Then it's back home for series against the Red Sox and the Angels. I'll be going next Wednesday night to see Shohei and the Angels. And Connor's in studio with us now as we talk White Sox. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Make sure you watch us and follow the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Twitch.tv or download the Twitch app live in our first Midwest Bank State Street studios. So health-wise, guys getting close. I guess La Russa was just saying earlier today, like things look good for Giolito and Lynn. I mean, that's all that's important right now, Connor. I mean, 14, magic number 14 on September 9th is like, my God, get to October already.
Yeah,
right?
I think there's a certain segment of the fan base, those of us who cover the team, those who wear the White Sox uniforms, we're very much ready for the round one of the playoffs to start already. But it's crucial that they get as healthy as possible. I know La Russa was just talking. I mean, his press conference started minutes ago, okay. So I'm sitting here hanging with you guys. But it looks like the idea is getting Rodon, Cease, Lynn, and Giolito back over the next 4 games or so.
Okay.
I don't think there are starting pitching assignments, but if there are, we'll have it for you on the pregame show at 2:00 here on the ESPN 1000 Hard Rock Casino White Sox Network. But it does look like health is on the way for good. The Sox, and that's the important thing, right? It's having those guys clicking, making one good run here at your last or second to last homestand, going on the road and taking care of business too.
I know that we were talking about Robert and some of the things that he still has to kind of clean up in the outfield, and he's still young and he's learning. And I mean, I get that he's young; he doesn't have a ton of experience. I don't want Luis Robert anywhere in the order ever again for the next 10 years, other than 1 or 2. I mean,
I
like that. I am a big believer in take your 4 or 5 best hitters and kind of whatever 1 through 5, make sure they get the most at bats. And I get it; TA is going to be back, and TA could lead off, but. Does Robert go down to 2, or do they get cute and be like, well, we got to protect him and ease him in. He's going to bat 7th in the playoffs.
No, I think that'll be really interesting to watch. Remember, too, that Yoan Moncada has been on a great run the last 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks or so. He's, an error away from being an 18-game hit guy or 18-hit streak guy. So I think the White Sox have a bunch of really nice options toward the top of the lineup. I like, Robert's down in the 2 spot today against the A's, lefty Sean Manaea. So Cesar Hernandez is going to bump up to 1, and he's leading off. Remember, too, that since August 1st, Leury Garcia has been really, really good while filling in for Tim Anderson. Now, Garcia's a streaky dude.
Yes, he is.
And I don't know how much you want to count on him come playoff time, right? But having that matchup, knowing that he's a switch hitter and he can handle any defensive spot, I wouldn't be surprised if the puck comes to his stick at some point in the playoffs just with a couple of runners on. I would not be surprised by that at all.
Oh, a big pinch hit for Leury. Well, sometimes you do need those guys to come through in those moments, you know? I mean, that's kind of...
Look at the even-year Giants.
Yeah.
Name for me the guys who can't... Connor Gillespie came through for the even-year Giants.
Connor Gillespie.
Cody Ross came through for the even-year Giants, right? I mean, guys you've never thought of since then.
Jeff Blum came through for the 05 White Sox.
He really, you know, absolutely
it's like
did.
You do need... Every once in a while, like in a big game, in a big spot, oh, who's coming up to bat? And he does something magical. That's baseball.
And this is something that Tony La Russa told everybody who would listen as soon as the season started. A lot of people didn't want to hear it, up to and including myself. Because, you know, you start the season and you're like, gosh, it's been a whole pandemic. We're finally getting back to baseball as we know it. Just give me the stars. Give me everybody that I want to watch. But you need one through, I mean, what does a real good ball club need right now, guys? Probably 35 quality players throughout a 162 game season.
Yeah, you're probably right.
35.
Yeah,
if not
get
more.
Through a whole season, yeah.
If not more.
I see your Gillespie and your Blum, and I raise you a Steve Pierce.
Steve Pierce. Couldn't get him out. Babe Pierce.
I mean, stuff like that is crazy.
Who the hell is Steve Pierce?
He was a 2018 World Series MVP for the Boston Red Sox.
Lefty masher.
You couldn't have got... If you would have asked me right now the 2018 World Series MVP, and I...
100 guesses.
I can't imagine how many guesses, and I don't think I ever would have been able to remember Steve Pierce.
There are members of Steve Pierce's own family
they don't know.
That have forgotten he played for the Red Sox, much less won a World Series MVP.
Wait a minute, you won a ring?
Came out of nowhere. Yeah. And then got a good deal after that, too. I think he got paid.
Of course. Good for how him. Could you not? So, Kimbrel talked recently about like a little mechanical tweak. He feels good?
He's altered a couple of things. It's nice to see him not yanking a fastball. Yeah. You know, you want to keep that in the strike zone. He's really, really good, and he's worked out of some jams for the Sox in the last couple of his last couple outings. I still think, you know, the few things that aren't injury related that I'm interested to see over the next couple of weeks are Michael Kopech reshaping that slider into something that is effective and not getting turned around real quick. I think he'll get there. I think you trust the talent that level that Kopech has. I'd really like to see a bit of an Andrew Vaughn rebound.
Me too.
You know, it's been a tough 2 or 3 weeks. And how could you possibly blame the kid? He's faced a lot of tough right-handers. It's almost like the Clerks line, right? He shouldn't even be here today, right? Just the fact that he's in the big leagues is insane, and he's played as well as he has is incredible. But let's not forget where he came from and how difficult an ask this is. He's never played this much baseball, period.
And he's
story.
Had to play the outfield all year.
And he's had to nice diving catch last night,
too.
Nice diving catch.
It really is some kind of season, but I totally agree with you about... Like, can he get back to being a threat, not just again? We know he kills the lefties, but, like, can he be some sort of productive at-bat, productive plate appearance against tough righties? That's an excellent point.
And
we haven't seen it the last couple of weeks.
I think it's how he's seeing the baseball right now, too, because if you watch him against real tough right-handers, not necessarily last night, though, a little bit, they're getting ahead of him with some hard stuff, and then it's slowing away, yeah. and he's creeping out over that outside edge of the plate, like you see a lot of right-handers do. Yeah. So on the one hand, you know, I kind of look at things like that and go, okay, is this a mistake that every young right-hander has made from the start of baseball here in the state? Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
So that's usually a fixable thing. It's something you can come back from. I think Vaughn's an incredibly talented hitter.
I do too.
Who's, you know, he's running into a little bit of a rookie wall right now, which is very understandable.
Biggest threat in the AL, who do you think?
Yeah, I mean, there's no points for subtlety here, right?
Mm-mm.
It's the Tampa Bay Rays. I mean, just the way they throw anybody and everybody out there at you. I think Steve Pierce might be bullpen. I think he might be in their bullpen. I don't know. But anybody they throw at you out of the bullpen just works. They have identified your weaknesses. Crazy. They've got smart guys like Jeff Sullivan in the front office there just doing nothing but clacking away at keyboards, finding your weaknesses, you know, just all that kind of stuff. They're that good.
So they're still one of those teams that can find that edge. Like Yurko always says, once everybody's in on analytics, like where has your advantage gone?
Where's the advantage
you have
now?
To continue to be out ahead of it. And they seem to be one of those really smart teams that can continue to find advantages somehow.
I'm going to go ahead and put myself on the Black and Abdallah show. That's a great question, Yurk, because it is the question in baseball right now. And I think what it comes down to is, if everybody has the same information, which I think you can kind of safely assume through all 30 teams,
right?
It's what do you believe in most? You know, where does your faith...
Which numbers are important?
Yeah. Where does your faith come into play, and what can you change? I think we've learned so much about player development over the last 3-4 years with edutronic cameras, slow-mo stuff, all that kind of biokinetic stuff. That's big, too. And listen, they've just drafted so well. They called up this kid, Josh Lowe, another top 100 kid last night, got his first big league hit off Nathan Eovaldi, and he'll probably go back down, and they won't miss a beat.
Which is crazy.
They're scary.
Think about some of the players they've had to trade that are going to hit in a few other places, too. Like, Passan was talking about it with us a couple weeks ago when he mentioned Cronenworth. It's like they've even moved on from some guys that, like, are just hitting for other franchises.
Willie Adames reshaped the Brewers' season.
Phenomenal point.
Like, yes, they pitched really well, but that offense goes nowhere without. Where's he going? Nowhere.
He's been so good for Milwaukee.
So good.
They had to get rid of him because the kid behind him is better. Like, think about that.
It's mind-boggling.
It is. Like, what the Dodgers are doing, what the Braves are doing in terms of the players they draft and develop, like, they are the model.
And this is what it comes down to for me. If you want home field advantage, if a franchise wants home field advantage, what do your top 35 players look like? Because it takes that depth to get you there. It takes depth for the best record in baseball or on either side of the league, right? That is the test. And while the White Sox certainly have elites of elites in a couple of different positions, it's can their depth play with the depth once you get to the postseason roster of the Rays, of the Astros? I think they can.
It's like, yeah,
because their top end is that good.
Can you bring up anybody and they're going to contribute? Like, can your organization get to that? I think that's what, like, White Sox fans are hopeful for. I think Cub fans are the same thing. Like, can Jed do what they did once before, and can they sustain it for a longer period of time? But, like, finding these waves of talent that just come up and play and hit or pitch, and you're like, how do they do it? How do the Rays have 88 wins? Like, it's crazy.
Well, there's different ways to do it, too. I mean, the Rays have drafted and developed, but the White Sox bringing in Brian Goodwin, Billy Hamilton, Jake Lamb, each one of those guys has provided the kind of depth and ride at some points during the season to get you where you need to go. There's different ways to do it. Some are more challenging than others.
Goodwin's been a good story.
He has been.
He's one of those, like, and Hamilton too. I mean, like, Billy Hamilton is on, he's got the charismatic smile, and, like, he seems very supportive and, like, very loose and fun and just kind of...
Oh, no, he's that dude.
For all of his flaws...
What about you know, the big guy that saved the season at the beginning of the
year? Poor Yermin. He's kind of like, the forgotten man.
You can't write this season story without Yermin Mercedes.
I know.
Yeah. You can't do it. You got to have a Yerminator burger in chapter one of the book.
You do. But I can't believe how much, as a Sox fan, like, I've enjoyed having Billy Hamilton around. Like, I never would have believed, like, oh, Billy Hamilton will be the fun-loving player that loosens up the clubhouse and provides a little spark for you in a few games in June. It's like, wait, what?
Season,
but that happened.
If this goes the way you want it to go, Billy's going to take a big stolen base for you at some point.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great point.
He's going to take 90 feet for you at some point. It's going to matter.
He's going to give you that Dave Roberts steal, you know, like when you need
modern
it.
Modern-day Claudel Washington.
Right, yes. He's going to have that Dave Roberts ninth inning steal that they need. And you're going to be like, yeah, I love Billy Hamilton forever.
I mean, let's not fall behind 3-0 on anybody, right? I mean, that's not the prescription. But if you have to, take a bag.
I love it, man. It's El Duque in Boston in 05. It's like, El Duque, that's your, that's who you're signing in January? And then like,
Duque.
Yeah, let's go 10 months forward and El Duque's
getting out
of a bases loaded jam in Boston.
That's the greatest relief appearance I've ever seen
ever,
in my life.
Ever. Throwing up 3-2 bases loaded breaking ball to Johnny Damon. It's like, what? I mean, come
watch those highlights too, and it's Berman on the call. Which,
yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I don't think he knew it was him.
It was
back. Oh no, he didn't hit it.
It was once described, and I'm not trying to be insensitive. It's like, it's just, you know, when I said to someone in the White Sox organization about that, I'm like, you know, it's pretty ballsy. And it's like, ballsy. It's like, these guys, like, they fled their countries on rafts, man.
Yeah.
You think he cares about a 3-2, you know, like, oh, I'm afraid to throw a curveball to Johnny Damon.
What if I hang this to Johnny Damon?
What if I hang it to Johnny? He's like, F it.
And he hits it to the wall.
I mean, it's like they don't care.
I did one of the things I'm most proud of in my radio career was an oral history of that relief appearance.
Unreal.
It was, you know, it's stuff like Don Cooper banging on the table for him, got to make the playoff roster. He's got to be here. He's got to be here. And Coop's a big part of the reason he wasn't on that roster to begin with.
Unreal.
It was wild stuff.
All of his big moments in New York, like, he was unfazed by it. You need me to go do that now? I'll go do it.
All good.
All right, brother. Thank you for the time. We know you're getting ready for the show. 30 minutes. You're back on the air. Have a great weekend. All right, pal.
See you, boys.
See you, Connor. We'll be right back.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Carmen and Yurko with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Bonus Carmen and Yurko today. We got about another 25, and Connor's back on the air with pregame for White Sox and A's. Connor and Hoodie are doing the play-by-play tomorrow for game one of the Sox and the Red Sox on the south side as they come home from Oakland. So that'll be fun tomorrow night. Len and DJ up at 2:37 today for first pitch. I think it's Manaea against Lopez, I believe, is the matchup today. Let's go to Jason and Dyer. What's up, Jay?
Oh, yeah, Carm, I got a game for you. It's called Who's the Bigger Douche? And maybe Yurk could help us out.
I'm ready.
Who's the douche, who's the bigger douche?
That's right.
The bigger douche. Is it Carm or is it Miller? So I was talking to my son about what's going to happen with the Cubs.
Okay, go ahead, Jason. Go ahead.
I'm talking to my son about what's going to happen with the Cubs. He's 10 years old. He's heartbroken. This is his first sports heartbreak.
Mm-hmm.
We're listening to Carmen Miller, and I thought, well, maybe they could explain it to him because he's not getting that it's just business. And Carm uses this opportunity to push his Sox fandom on my suffering son.
That's right.
You did.
I did,
and then
yes.
Miller.
It's Miller. Miller with an E. Miller. There you go.
Miller throws in Elijah Tatis in front of my son's face, waving him around. And to make it even better, at the end of it, you introduced me for the final word is James from Dyer gets the final word.
Oh, that's bad. I thought it was
I'm Jason.
That's bad. You're
so
Jason.
So my son comes downstairs and he says, hey, James, you see what Rizzo did today?
Jason, listen, your son sounds pretty witty and clever. I like him, actually.
Sounds like a Sox fan to me, Jason.
I think I want to be friends with your son.
Hey, Jason, you know what? Wait. How about this, Carm? We'll make it up to you. We'll make it into a promo.
Yeah, I think we did make that into a promo, by the way.
That's the best when we hear that on the radio. Yeah. It's fantastic.
I might be the bigger douche, I admit it. I had some fun with it. But
I'm going to assess judgment here. They're both giant douches.
We're both big douches. Jason, we love you, brother. And you and your son keep listening. Yes, I did take the opportunity to tell him switch allegiances. And, you know, look, every young kid has that moment where
you got to make the call.
Not only do you have to make the call, you have to realize that heartbreak and disappointment is part of being a fan. You know, Yurko used to joke, not joke, I mean, you know, Yurko would talk about when he was little, and if he were to cry over a loss at a game that, you know, his dad would say, well, why you cry, Johnny? You cry? It's kind of like the line in Bronx Tale.
Yeah,
you know, you're mad at, he goes, you know, you're upset at Bill Mazeroski because he made the Mick cry. He said, what do you care? He said, you think if you were crying, Mickey Mantle would care? He said, your father can't pay the rent. Go ask Mickey Mantle. See what he says. You know, like, dads sometimes have to teach that lesson. And Sweet Beads used to tell you, you don't cry over a game.
Well, when we cuss over the Bears, he'd tell us, get the hell outside.
Right, yeah.
Get out. You can't watch TV anymore. Get out of here. And we'd be, what, eight-year-old kids, 9 years old and 6 years old. The Bears would be playing like the Bears are. And we'd be looking at TV, you mother blankers, you blah, blah, blah. And he's looking at us, what the hell's wrong with you guys? Just a game.
It's a game.
Send us out, and we'd play in the thing. We'd be screaming in the street, what a bunch of blankety-blanks, blanks, and then Nosy Rosie across the street would look over, get back inside your house and pipe down there.
Every young kid does learn that heartbreak is part of being a fan. And I remember, before I was a White Sox fan, when I was, let's see, I would have been 7 years old in the summer of 1984. And I was a pretty big Cub fan because, you know, my dad was, my grandpa My dad is a Cub fan. My grandpa was a huge Cubs fan, and that was a magical year. It was the first team I really kind of remember following, and I cried when they lost to the Padres. I cried, and my dad did the same thing. He pulled me aside and he said, you know, you're crying over a game that you're not even playing in.
Right.
And this is a guy that had never seen the Cubs win.
They're going to make you cry for the rest of your life.
All right, yeah. And that's why I switched allegiances.
And so
you
said, good point,
later.
Dad. I'm going to go.
By the time Ozzie and Frank and Robin came around a few years later, I'm like, I'm going to be a White Sox fan. This team's cooler.
Don't forget about Greg Walker.
Yeah, I like Greg Walker, too. That's a good call, Yerk.
It's that fork in the road moment that every young person has to deal with. Do you want to be loyal or do you want to be a front runner? Carm chose front runner.
I chose front runner.
Then you kind of want to do it quietly initially.
Yeah.
So everybody kind of forgets what your former allegiance was.
Yeah.
And then just kind of announce it as you go along. And then hopefully when they start winning, that, oh, no, what are you guys talking about?
It's been, what is that, 30 years, though? Probably a good 32 years now. 32 out of my, well, maybe even a little bit more than that. Probably by about 89. Yeah, so 32 of my 44 years.
Yeah, Mike Bielecki.
Mike Bielecki.
So wait, at 89 you were straddling the fence?
By 89 I
the
was
The boys
a,
of Zimmer? Are they,
no, see, okay, I didn't care about right, that right. team. Yeah. So by 88, probably 88, 89. When was Frank's rookie year? It maybe Robin's rookie
Frank
year.
Frank was 89, 90.
Okay,
up in 90, I think.
Maybe Robin's rookie year was the year I finally said, that's it, I like the White Sox more. I liked Robin. I wanted to be a fan of Robin. And, you know, they were going to move into the new ballpark and... At the time, I was too young to understand Reinsdorf threatened to move the team and all that. You don't get into the politics when you're a kid. You don't really know. You hear the older dads griping about it like our kids probably do now about Soldier Field and Arlington Park and all that, you know. But you don't really get it at that age. You know, you just figure, oh, they'll be here to stay, and they got all these young, exciting players. And, yeah, I like the White Sox. Hopefully they'll win another one for us.
I was a Catholic kid, and I'd come home at 2:15, the only game that was on. Went to St. Andrew the Apostle was the Cubs game. Yeah. So when the only game that was on was the Cubs game, you became a Cub fan. That's just the way it was.
That's true.
And then they had some idiot team that Ray Rayner would talk about that would have shorts on.
That was the White Sox.
I go, who are these morons wearing shorts?
Remember the short? That lasted one season.
Yeah, I know, Carm, but still there are morons. But I'll let you know this, Carm.
It is dumb.
We used to go to, for every one Cub game we went to six White Sox games.
Well, you guys lived on the South Side.
South Side, Calumet City. Yeah. So it was easy. Plus, they had Croatian night.
Wow, that's nice.
So we'd go sing the national anthem, the American one and the Croatian one first, then the American one. And then, boom, we'd be in the seats watching the games.
Well, was Bill Veeck still the owner then, Yerk, when they were
doing
that?
Yeah, Veeck was the owner.
See, Veeck was
70s.
Brilliant, wasn't he? Croatian night. Who else was doing Croatian night in the 70s?
Czechoslovakian night.
Dude,
Veeck
was a,
night.
He
it
was
great.
A genius, Yerk. Yeah. Right? Italian
night.
Well,
I mean,
night.
We're a melting pot. Chicago's a melting pot, you know?
Yeah, Veeck was a genius. He was brilliant. Viking Scott's on the line. I don't know if he wants to talk about his Vikings season preview or what.
Boy.
What's going on, Scotty?
He's miserable already.
Well, we'll give you that in a second, but let me help out Jason's son. I forgot how old they said he was.
He said he was 10.
He's already got. All right, so he's already got a championship under his belt. I've been rooting for the Vikings for 48 years. I don't have anything to show for it.
That's a good point.
But yet, my loyalty is still there every year, every year.
I think this
year, you know, Zimmer's supposed to be a defensive coach. Last year, Pierce sat out. Hunter didn't play, so they filled all the holes, and that's the one thing I have for you guys. Think about the Bears. They might have filled their future need at quarterback, but at the end of last year after that Saints loss in the playoffs, did they go out in free agency and fill the couple big needs that they were going to have after what they lost? I'm happy with the Vikings. They went and got some corners. They got the defensive lineman Tomlinson from the Jets, so at least I got hope. Because we went out and tried to fill the needs we had, and that's the one thing I don't think the Bears did.
I don't think they're going to be very good, and that's part of the reason why, Scott. I don't. You know, unless Fields plays a lot and is really great, and that'd be awesome. Yeah, but Yurko's a little bit more optimistic than I am, that's for sure.
And let's face it, the Bears, everybody said, where's the improvement from 8-8? The Bears went 2-4 in the division last year. So there's your improvement from 8-8, if one was going to ask me. If you go 4-2 in your division, you have now won 10 games and you'd be 10-6. So Carm keeps going, Yurk, where are you going to get him? Where are you going to get him? I'm going to get 4-2 this year. I'm going to sweep Detroit. Either I'm going to sweep Minnesota or split Minnesota. And for heaven's sake, Carm, the Chicago Bears have to be able to beat the Green Bay Packers one time this year.
So that'd be 4-2. You're right. In your scenario there, that's 4-2.
Right.
The thing that really gives me some hesitation about picking 8, 9, 10 wins for the Bears is their schedule is tough, though.
It's a tough schedule.
It is a tough schedule in terms of rest, in terms of opponent. Road games are tough. It's just, you know, you look at their first, I think, five road games, you know, every one of those teams except the Raiders had a winning record at home, and the Raiders might have been 500 at home. They have a tough schedule. They really do.
8-8, I believe. 8-8 for the Raiders, and they could have been 4-4.
Something like that. Yeah, I think I remember looking, doing the work on it earlier in the offseason and looking at those first four or five road opponents, and they all had
You win games you never thought you were going to win, and you lose games that you scratch your head and you go, what in the H were we thinking losing these games?
Yeah, it's true.
That's the way it works sometimes.
Merkin's got a couple of birthdays he wants to celebrate coming up next. Great. We'll try to sneak in a few more calls if we can. Connor McKnight's coming up with pregame at 2. For a little Thursday afternoon baseball on this gorgeous Thursday, and it's kickoff day in the National Football League. It's Carmen and Yurko. We'll be right back.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
This is the home of Carmen and Yurko.
Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN _ Chicago.
Couple calls before we're out of here. Connor McKnight standing by. White Sox pregame coming up 2:37. First pitch, and then the postgame, and then Black and Abdallah tonight. No Waddle and Sylvie today. Everybody's back tomorrow to wrap the week. Lots of Bears talk going into the first NFL weekend of the year. Rich is in Yorkville. Oh, I'm sorry. Who did I punch up? This is Steven Johnsburg. What's up, Steve?
Hey, listen. I just want to say to you guys that I wish it was more hours in a day. Because today's 4 hours was perfect.
Oh, I appreciate you guys get me all warmed up.
I get all excited, and all of a sudden you're off the air.
No slight on
Greeny, but no, today was perfect. It's like the old days again. You guys are great.
Well, thank you, Steve. We appreciate that. Thank you very kindly. Yeah. This is Rich in Yorkville. What's up, Rich?
Hey, I just wanted to call. I had a quick story to tell. You know, I'm 68, and when I lived in Brighton Park, we used to take the 35th Street bus. We'd get into the ballpark with a coupon off of ballpark franks and 50 cents, and you could sit anywhere you wanted just about. There was never anybody in the old ballpark back then. You know, so we'd sneak up in the upper deck and sit with Harry. I think that was even before Jimmy was even with him, you know. And,
wow.
Oh, God, the net and catching the foul tips and everybody singing. But I'll tell you one thing, Disco Demolition Night, I was playing park ball back then, and broke my ankle. We were supposed to go to the game that night. I watched it on TV, and they got the first game in because it was a twilight, and then they shut it down because the park just went up in flames. It was crazy.
But the old
park was great. I miss the old park. The new park's okay, but it just doesn't have that feel of closeness, you know?
The new park, they've done a lot of work on to make it better. When it first opened, I don't think anybody was a fan of that park. And then sure enough, you know, Camden opens a couple of years later and was like, oh, that's what the new parks are supposed to look like. It's supposed to look like the old ones, you know. The old park was very cool. It was unique. It was cool. And, yeah, Disco Demolition is an all-timer.
445 to center field, right?
The old park. I think that's right, Yerk.
The shower where it belonged in center field.
The shower where it belonged.
People actually utilized it and used it.
The original exploding scoreboard.
Stealing the bases. But remember what the backstop used to look like for batting practice? It was on wheels, and they pushed it all the way into center field.
Yeah.
Somebody was stealing that. People were climbing the fences. The park held 40-some-odd thousand. They had about 53,000 that night.
The white bricks, and it was classic.
They're throwing records around. You got in with a record?
You got in with a record.
They're throwing records around. They'd be slicing people left and right.
That was our guy, Steve. That was our guy, it was Steve
Jeff
Rodal,
Schwartz.
But it was Jeff Schwartz.
Put it together with Steve Dahl.
Baseball and Steve Dahl.
Steve Dahl, teenage radiation.
I love Steve. Let's go real quick to Dre in Denver. Bad fingers.
Denver.
What's up, Dre?
Hey, real quick, I know you guys got to go. Croatia, Europe, I meant to call you back in July. I went to Croatia, I went to Tisno, right below Split. And, Carm, if you ever get the chance, you got to go to Croatia. I'm going there every year for the rest of my life.
I've heard it's beautiful.
People are the best.
Yeah.
I went to Tisno, right below Split. It was a house music festival. I was out of my mind speaking of Tisno.
Awesome.
Anyway, I don't think the Bears are going to be anything with Dalton. I think it's going to be a horse crap season. You don't go from I don't really think they were ranked below the 25 teams in offense last year. And they lost people on the offensive line. They bring back a 39-year-old guy. I just don't see them. I've seen him watching Sunday night and be pulling the rest of that hair out, I guess. I don't think it's
going to
be anything.
If he's that bad, though, Fields will be in sooner rather than later, so that could be a good thing, at least for his development, and get us a little excited. Dre, thank you. Merck, you said there are a couple of big birthdays today you wanted to mention?
Boy, there's a lot of birthdays
September 9th.
Go ahead, start spitting them out.
Okay,
kid.
Joe Theismann today turned 72.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm positive.
Happy birthday, Joe.
Walter Davis, Michael always wanted him on the Bulls. Turned 67 today.
Yes, he did.
Okay. Former Oklahoma coach Bob Stoops turned 61 today.
Former Hawkeye.
Former Happy Illinois birthday. Quarterback Jack Trudeau turns 59 today.
Wow.
Thunder Dan Marley turns 56 today.
Wow.
Former Cub Todd Zeal turns 56
Todd
too.
We're celebrating Todd Zeal? You're going into a bad
place
now.
Cardinal to me.
BJ,
Todd Zeal.
BJ Armstrong. Turns,
I'll give you BJ.
Okay, turns 54 today.
Happy birthday.
Former Arizona star running center. Sean Rooks. I got a couple more. The main reason I got to it was Yurko's guy today.
That's right.
36. Ooh. Luka Modric. How many times have we heard Yurko talk about Luka Modric?
Well, he's like the greatest player in Croatian history, probably.
Isn't it Jason Benetti's birthday?
Is today Benetti's birthday?
Is it today Jason Benetti's birthday?
I don't know if it is. Happy birthday to Jason.
You know who would know is Fred.
I think Fred sent him a card.
Yeah, if you sent him something, okay.
If it's Jason's birthday, happy birthday, Jason.
If you had to rank,
is his birthday today. Good call. Birthday, 38.
Yeah, if you had to rank the Croatian soccer players, you'd probably put Modric number one.
Oh, yeah.
Davor Šuker.
Yes.
Right around there. The Croatia's had a lot of great players.
Yeah.
So, but a lot of caps.
What about Ivan Šuban?
No, Zvonimir Boban.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Ivan Perisic?
Robert Prošinecki would be up there. A lot of great Croatian players.
All right.
Real quickly, Carmen, one more thing. A legend from Notre Dame, a guy I worked with. Terry Brennan, who was the coach of Notre Dame, and then before that was a star running back at Notre Dame, passed away. I worked with him at Sporting News Radio. His son, Chris Brennan, started Sporting News Radio, 101 Sports, passed away yesterday. He was a legend at Notre Dame. He's the coach that broke Bud Wilkinson's Oklahoma 47-game winning streak. He was the coach of Notre Dame back then, so he passed away. Terry Brennan, 93, I believe.
Rest in peace. All right, so that's going to pretty much do it for us. Yeah, enjoy.
Ended on a positive note.
Yeah, really, Merck. Way to bring it.
All right, sorry, Yurko. I'm trying. I mean, you know.
Oh, by the way, you know what I watched a lot of last night? I mean, you had to watch the Spanish broadcast, and Furman talked about it. I watched on Telemundo. I watched the U.S. was down early to Honduras, but rallied for a 3-1 win against Honduras.
Fire Berhalter already.
Yeah, fire him already, Miller says.
But
that was a good rally, so good. So U.S. won big CONCACAF World Cup games.
Yeah,
so.
I love Klinsmann.
Enjoy the NFL game tonight. We'll see you tomorrow to wrap the week. More football. Get you set for the weekend. Red Sox in town. It's going to be a fun Friday. So our first football Friday of the year. Can't wait. That's going to be awesome. Thank you for listening, calling, and participating in the show today. Thanks to Zetterman for helping out all the listeners in the Monster Jam Pearl Jam game. Great job by Midway, Jeff Meller, and Randy Merkin. Connor standing by. White Sox baseball is next.